You're listening to Jill Emberson on 1233 ABC Newcastle.
When was the last time you picked up a book? And do you know if your book, the book you picked up, was a novel or a novella? One of Australia's leading literary magazines, the Griffith Review, called on writers to experiment with novellas in a new project. And guess what? They got 200 entries. They picked six of them to be published, and one of them is local university lecturer and author Ed Wright. Hey, Ed, thanks for popping in. And tell me this. How good does it feel to be picked out of 200 novella writers to be published in the Griffith Review?
That's a pretty good feeling, thanks, Jill. Yeah.
Now, I've never really known the difference between a novel and a novella, but I do like a short story. I guess it's somewhere in between.
Yeah, technically it's somewhere in between. Normally, I think from about 20,000 words till about maybe 45,000 words, you probably start getting into novel territory.
Okay, yes. If you said I'm going to write a novel, would you need what would be the minimum amount of words you need to commit to?
I reckon about 50.
50?
Yeah.
Any less and it's not a novel?
Well, it's a grey area, but yeah.
What do you like about the novella?
I like the fact that it's singularly focused. Like if you're writing a novel, you generally have to have, you know, subplots and you have to construct it in a way so you distract the reader from the major plot while other things are going on.
Yeah.
And so it's a different set of skills where, in some ways, as Ian McEwan recently argued, for instance, the famous British writer in The Telegraph, you know, the novella is actually a purer sort of beast because it goes through, it encapsulates one sort of idea almost.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that. But it gives you a little bit more than a short story?
Yeah, the short story is probably doesn't have the same time for sort of development of character and for running a longer plot, you know, sort of it doesn't have that sort of spread of sort of narrative arc in a way.
Yeah, it's more like a notion really, isn't it? Reflecting on a moment or observing a thing.
Yeah, it's like a small moment or something like that, and then generally, you know, that comes with a twist or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's got that sort of conventional structure.
We spoke to Kate Kennedy last week. She's from Melbourne. She'd been a guest of the Sydney Hunter Writers' Centre, and she's just written a book of short stories. I must say, in our busy lives, I can see why the short story and the novella are going to become increasingly popular. Do you reckon?
I reckon there's a good case to be made for it, and perhaps even poetry as well.
Ah, yes, well, because of the shortness of it.
Because of the brevity of it, because of the new modes of delivery that people have got for these things, you know, like you read it on your computer or your iPad or your iPhone or your Kindle or whatever, and things like that are changing. And certainly it's cheaper to produce things like a novella now than it was, you know, sort of in the days where you only produced things using print technology.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a big plus there. Now, I want to find out more about the novella, but I'd love you to read a little piece from yours that's published in the Griffith Review. It's called An End to Hope. Could you read some for me?
Sure. I'll just frame it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a Japanese ghost story based upon the idea that you often get in sort of Chinese and Japanese mythology that ghosts are restless souls whose lives have been unresolved. So it sort of, this is from actually when she's alive, but that's the basic story.
Okay, I'm in the mood.
Okay. For a young girl, there was plenty of time for dreaming. I dreamed when walking my dog through the forest during the daytime. I dreamed with my head down on my desk at school. I dreamed my way through cold winters with my family at the Katatsu, with my friends at their katatsus, huddled under my futon alone in the cold nights. My dreams contained mountain of possibilities. I dreamed with a pure heart. The affairs of the world did not concern me until the war. At first it was so exciting. A great adventure. The men looked so handsome in their uniforms as they left the village. We were proud of them. Our nation was destined for greatness. School, which had taught us this, was cancelled. We helped our parents on the farm and sewed for the soldiers in the community hall. It wasn't long, though, before the cup of glory began to tarnish. First, my eldest brother, Ichiro, dead. His ship, a mess of fire in the Pacific. A farmer lost at sea. Such a gentle man, quiet like a tree, sinking. I don't know why he joined the Navy. He could hardly swim. Who would have thought the Emperor's boats could be so vulnerable? If Ichiro had stayed like elder sons are supposed to, he would have prevented my calamity. I imagine his body eaten by fish, silver flashes of cold-eyed viciousness picking him to the bones. I wonder where he is now, wrestling with giant squid in the lightlessness of the ocean's valleys. Who knows? Perhaps he made the warm forever. I can't feel his ghost at all. Then my second brother Tetsuo, dead, in the tropical jungle. An officer and an extremist. Always very angry. Always in the middle, squeezed for authority and affection. I wasn't so sad for him. He was a bully, but still my blood. A loss he might have changed. Tetsuo was brave. He died charging an enemy machine gun nest, screaming banzai with furious determination on his face. It took more bullets to bring him down than is human, and he just managed to land his bayonet in the neck of the enemy before he stumbled forward to meet his death. Or perhaps it was mosquito fever, the bite of one tiny insect, a female. That would have enraged him. Or perhaps he cut himself open like an old samurai to avoid the dishonour of capture. Steaming guts spilling into the steaming jungle and carried away by ants. Who knows? We only know that the government wrote to tell us he was dead. Unbelievable. I can almost feel Tetsuo's ghost at the fringes of my sense. His war never finishes. He roams the jungle, indulging his mad obsessions, spooking the monkeys, hunting the chance to escape. Then my sweetheart Yukio, dead. My heart felt like winter in spring. His plane was a great ball of exploding gasoline that touched the heavens. His spirit was distilled into a white light that continues to sharpen the big sky over Guam. One day, my darling, we will make a beautiful rainbow.
Hey, Ed, that's beautiful. Ed Wright, a lecturer in writing here at the University of Newcastle. His novella, An End to Hope, reading for us live this morning on 12:33 at 17 to 11. It's published in the Griffith Review, number 38, a quarterly review of new writing and ideas. What made you even think of that world? I mean, Honshu, not just Honshu, the mountains of Western Honshu. What sends you there in your creative imagination?
I lived there for 3 years teaching at a university.
Really?
At the University of Tottori, which is in this very sort of quiet place in Western Japan.
I always remember learning the names of those Japanese islands, Honshu, Shikoku,
Kyushu.
And Hokkaido.
Yeah, there we are.
They're so beautiful names.
Yeah.
Ed, you're teaching at the university in creative writing.
Yep.
Tell me, is there a passion for it amongst our university students today?
There's a lot of people taking creative writing courses at the uni, and it's great to see, and some of the students are producing fantastic works. I've mainly been teaching online master's students recently, and there's some real talent of people who are just really having interesting lives and have really amazing stuff to write about.
So are they writing fiction or non-fiction?
Some of them are writing fiction, some of them writing non-fiction, some of them are writing both.
What an exciting time to be a writing teacher when the barrier, otherwise known as the need to be published, has been so diminished through the internet.
Yes, exciting and also horrendous because it makes it a lot more difficult to make a living out of it.
So, yeah. Yeah, you can publish, but who's going to pay you to read your stuff?
Exactly.
It is a serious we're all in that ship together.
Yeah, journalism's there too.
Yeah, journalism's right up there. Ed, look, a delight to meet you. When you're writing new stuff, don't be afraid to come in and tell us more about it because we love hearing local talent and good luck with the novella. Is there another one in you?
Oh, I suspect so, yeah.
Do you write all the time?
Yeah, a lot of the time.
Non-stop?
Wouldn't go that far, but yeah. No, pretty much I go a bit nuts if I don't write.
Okay. I love that passion. Thanks for visiting us at 12:33.
Thanks for having me, Jill.
Ed Wright. His story is called An End to Hope.
You're listening to Jill Emberson on 12:33 ABC Newcastle.